John, you want to check your phone there? I just sent you a Facebook message.
Okay.
Oh, that's probably my tweet. Instagram.
Look, do you?
I just liked your post.
I thought we were recording.
I retweeted you.
I thought we were podcasting. God, I hate social media.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive, our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
I think everybody should like everybody.
That's never going to happen.
Would that break Facebook, do you think, if everybody liked everybody else?
All at once?
Yeah.
Could everyone friend everyone?
I don't know. I know, because there's a limit. You can get so many friends.
How many?
I think it's like 1,000 or something.
Oh. So yeah. You can't friend everyone?
No. Facebook has put limitations on your own social reach.
Wow.
How about that?
Where did it all start? What's the earliest social media outlet?
Well, I think social media, by its strictest definition, has been around for a long time. But what I think we're talking about is a digital platform for interaction on the internet.
Okay.
Where or elsewhere. Computers are linked together.
On a network.
On a network. And people are communicating. One user is reaching out to another user. They are. I like this guy. I don't know who this guy is, but I like him.
One user is reaching out to another or many users.
Many users. These users are. These users have avatars or profiles that they
choose,
create,
or create.
The user.
Keep going, man.
The user then
defines a set of friends or connections
by request
based upon real life connections or
aspirational
connections. In some modes of communication and social experiences, the communication is one-to-one, direct, from one user to another.
But sometimes the connection is broader than that.
One-to-many.
Infinite numbers of users can consume information.
Many-to-many.
The first social network, I believe, was the Usenet forum in the early days of the internet.
Circa 1990s.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. what are the Usenet forums?
That was, I think, an easier, more recognizable name might be newsgroups.
Yes. Newsgroups.
Which
I never understood them.
No,
I mean, I didn't.
They didn't make any sense.
I didn't know how to access them.
Yeah.
All I knew was there was probably something that I wanted to read or see in a newsgroup.
Right.
Because I knew there were, like, specific newsgroups.
Yes.
Like,
they were broken down by categories.
Yeah. There would be a sci-fi newsgroup.
Right.
Right. Or there would be a like punk rock news group.
Yeah.
Right. And I had no idea. At this point in time, I'm on America Online.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding of the internet is not at all broad. I think a lot of people's understanding of the internet is not broad at this point. I heard about these news groups. Did AOL may have even had a little menu option.
Yeah, I think they probably did. I think, well, most of those like early services like Prodigy and AOL and Juno or whatever, they would have like their own stuff.
Yeah.
And then they would, you would have the option of going to the news group, which was sort of like a precursor to the web.
Yeah, so you've got the news groups. I think also one could make the argument that chat rooms, early chat rooms were some very early social network.
Or bulletin boards.
And so AOL, they had lots of chat rooms, lots of, you know, topic-specific chat rooms. I can remember very vividly partaking in a Blink-182 chat room. Mm. No, it wasn't. It was a punk rock chat room.
No, it wasn't.
And I got made fun of quite a bit. Because I think my username had 182 in it.
Oh.
It was very clear to those people, you know, what I was into. And, this must have been like 96 or 97 because it was at the point at which Blink had been claimed to have sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got a lot of guff going into that chat room for that.
You got some
e-guff. Yeah, some e-guff, exactly. but I was really curious about news groups. So had you or have you ever been inside of a news group?
I have.
So is it like a forum?
Yeah, basically. It's a lot like Reddit, really.
Okay.
I mean, Reddit is basically a slightly cleaner and easier to navigate news group, really. It was literally like just a grid, you know, like a list of topics that you were expandable and you could, and they would, it would actually, I don't remember if all of them functioned this way, but you know, the most recent comments or whatever, whichever topic had the most recent activity would go
at the top.
To the top.
Yeah.
And so that's how
it was. It was very mysterious to me.
Well, the interface was absolutely
absurd. I didn't know
how to get absurd.
To it. How did you get into it?
Well, I got to it through Prodigy.
Okay.
We had Prodigy service probably starting in like 92 or 93.
Wow.
I know. It's
early
really
adopters.
Weird, like thinking back on it. I'm like, what the hell compelled my parents to do this?
Yeah.
Because they are not that way at all now.
I mean,
they're not in any way like inclined to have like the, I mean, my, you know, neither of them are on Facebook or, you know, anything like that. They're just not engaged in any of that stuff. But and you would go in there and like Prodigy would have its own sections. It would have its like news and sports and stuff like that. And then there you could also access the news groups. And Prodigy was always very like, we don't know that you really want to go here because this isn't Prodigy, you know. You're not dealing with Prodigy when you go here. I mean, this is a whole different place.
You are leaving the boundaries, the safe and secure boundaries of Prodigy.
It was the kind of thing where I like poked around in there a little bit and I was like, yeah, like you. I'm like, this is probably cool if you know how to navigate it.
Yeah.
But if you weren't willing to take the time, and I wasn't, then, you know, it didn't do you any good. So where I ended up was in Prodigy's own like bulletin board sections, which were essentially the same thing, except that they were, one, they were regulated. They had moderators. And then they also, they were graphically a little more easier to digest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a clear design and pattern to them that I think was sort of not discernible from a news group when I, at least as far as I can recall.
So those news groups and bulletin boards, which, that's probably where I ended up when I couldn't get into a news group. I didn't understand how to access a news group. So I have never been to this day in one.
I wonder if they're still out there.
I bet they are.
That's
I bet
awesome.
There's some like someone who still holding on is and hates everything about the internet except for news groups.
Cause he was there first.
Yeah, exactly. It never got better than news groups for that guy. so billboards, bulletin boards, and news groups begat forums. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So once everyone started to like break free of AOL and Prodigy, and you know felt comfortable just having an ISP that didn't have some kind of interface that kept you hemmed in.
Right.
That just was a where open using channel.
All of their branded stuff.
Once people
And this too, I think once there was a web to speak of. Because I don't think that really happened until like, I don't know. I don't remember it being a thing until like 95, 96 at the earliest, you know?
So forums started to resemble, I think.
They were a lot like bulletin boards, except they were hosted on the internet and they were not necessarily affiliated with any company. So anybody could start a forum.
And they still have, I mean, there are still forums that has that mode of social media remains to this day in various different forms, but also in its original form as a collection of sort of sub forums that will pertain to a specific topic.
Yes.
And you would set up your account and you'd have an avatar and you'd post in the different threads, right?
Yeah.
I visited, there was one forum I visited regularly. I became well known on the forum. I was eventually made a moderator.
Whoa.
I know.
I
know.
I don't feel comfortable sitting here.
It was video game theater.
There's this glow to you and it's kind of messing with my eyes.
There was a forum called Video Game Theater that I found actually through when I used to be on a different forum called bidforpower.com/forum. And it was a forum for a Quake 3 mod.
Wow.
That was Dragon Ball Z based.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we come back to it. DBZ is back in the fold. So I was I wanted to play this game, and it was perpetually in development, but they had the forums going, so you'd talk about Dragon Ball Z and anime and video games, all this stuff,
Did
right?
it ever actually get developed?
Well, they got in trouble, copyright.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they changed it so that it didn't look like
CBD.
Yeah. And all the characters looked kind of like, you know, so no. I actually remember I was on that forum one day, and this is when I'm in college, actually.
Okay.
So this is like early 2000 now. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the library surfing the forum.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy from behind me suddenly, like, I don't know him. I don't know where, just says, "So you like DBZ, huh?" And I just turn my head. There's this pretty nerdy guy standing there. And I am, you know, I'm not unfamiliar with this type of person, and I know what I'm in for now.
Right.
Just by seeing him, and I know, I can tell by the way he has interjected into my personal time that he is the type of nerd that has no social acumen. And so I know what I'm about to get into, and I just sort of steel myself and start thinking immediately of ways to get away.
Just take the computer monitor.
But I say, yeah, I like Dragon Ball Z. And he goes, "Oh, do you like Gundam Wing?"
Oh, no.
And I say, "No, I just kind of, you know, I'm interested in this game because it's going to be DBZ focused. And that's what I like." Mm-hmm. He goes, "There's a Gundam Wing mod." And I was like, "Oh, okay.
That's great."
And then he proceeds to make me go visit the website.
Oh, no!
You should
go to the website.
So I got away from him eventually. But anyway, from that...
I like the idea that you're still on the run.
Yeah. He's still looking for me.
You're constantly looking over your shoulder.
Hello. So did you check that website out? So anyway, from bidforpower.com, I was... by a few other users that I had made friends with on that website, they told me about this other one, Video Game Theater, which is broader topics, and eventually spanned just all sorts of, you know, it wasn't just video game focus. It was pretty much every major topic, movies, news, entertainment.
It seemed like a lot of forums did that.
Eventually, I think
they all
just kind of like
start off with a very singular vision, and then they kind of broaden, whether because people run out of things to talk about or just...
Well, I think what happens is with a forum is you start with very specific topics.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, video games, right? Mm-hmm. And everything revolves around that. But as a forum ages, I think that the users become friends.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. They draw connections beyond the initial topic. Mm-hmm. And so they want to talk about other things together. Mm-hmm. And that's why these forums start to branch out and you get, you know, other sub forums within the main forum that just, you know, cover anything that, yeah, that the users want to talk about because you make genuine friendships.
Absolutely. I still have friends that I communicate with today.
So do I.
That I met via forums 15 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. Real friends.
Which is awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Although, I know people who got married that met via forums and stuff.
I lament there's one friend of mine who I met through video or I met on Bidford Power, became friends with through video game theater. Mm. Still talk to him today, but we've never met in person, you know, and I, before I die, I will meet this man. We can have another day. I've got so much to say. I'll tell you everything. And I laugh when I think about the past. When I see you after class, you're hating everything. Please don't remind me. Put your back behind me. And judge me by requires me. Wish it was one. I am not first, and I saw you online. You're screaming, you should be mine. Why can't we just pretend? Please don't remind me. Put your back behind me. And censor by the flies. Me, which is this one end? And I am not first, and I saw you online. You're screaming, you should be mine. Why can't we just pretend? And she said, nah, nah, nah. And then you started to have things like Friendster, right? There's one called Orkut.
Yeah, which I have no
And these are the earliest social network sites, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The distinction between like what you had with forums and what you have with the network, social network, was that in the forum, the focus of it was the topic at hand. It was the discussion. Whereas with the network, it was more, this is your digital profile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so there was still interaction, but it was taking place on your, it was like you're staking a claim, like this is my page, my presence on the internet.
Yeah.
And that's where, Friendster and MySpace and all those sort of came in.
Yeah, I was never on Friendster or Orkut. But when MySpace came around, that's probably the first one that I joined up with.
Yeah, I don't think I used to get requests for Friendster and stuff, and I would be like, God, I don't want to do this. And I remember like very grudgingly going to MySpace, like thinking, God, what am I going to do with this? You know,
MySpace. It's funny to think about, and I actually kind of annoyed about talking about MySpace like this was 20 years ago, but is what like. 5 or 6 years ago,
maybe a little bit more than
7 years ago.
Yeah.
When MySpace was big.
Yeah.
And it's when you think about what people want out of social media now and what they got when MySpace was the major player, it's really different. Like, you with MySpace, it was very focused on you and it was all about presenting yourself in a way that, you know, you felt represented who you were. So you would set up your page, you'd put your photos on there, you would list your likes, you know, all your favorite information things. Exactly. Yeah. You would, you'd arrange your friends in your top eight.
Right. Or whatever. The top eight.
You would put
later,
in
the top 16, whatever.
Top 100.
Yeah.
And you would then, you would, you know, put in your custom images and stuff. And there wasn't really,
And there was a big thing with like the layout of the page. Like adding custom styling and stuff to
animated GIFs.
Oh God. Yeah.
But there wasn't a really useful, channel for communication. Meanwhile, what's his face? Zuckerberg.
Zuck. Yeah.
Is sort of toiling away with his buddies on the Facebook.com, right?
Yeah.
And I can remember signing up for Facebook.com when it branched out from just was it Harvard?
It was like, I think it started at Harvard.
Yeah.
And then it went to like
a few other Ivy leagues.
And then it expanded
to all college. So when it expanded to all college, I can remember somebody sending me like you should sign up on this thing.
Mm.
And I did, and I thought it was pointless. And I forgot about it. I set up an account and I forgot about it.
Because
you needed, at that time, I think you needed a college email address or something to do it.
Yeah, it had to end with EDU.
I had one. Because I was unfortunately still in college and I set it up and I forgot about it. And at that point it was very rudimentary. It was a lot like MySpace, I think.
Yeah. Very similar.
There was not the interaction that is there now.
Yeah.
But then I can remember, for whatever reason, this sticks out of my mind is when I first, began using Facebook in a real way and like thinking, gosh, this is pretty cool actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like sick. I was homesick mm-hmm. from work or something. And, a few friends of mine I had noted had been using Facebook. And so I like fired up my old account and like noted how different it was from when I first had mm-hmm. interacted with it. And so started filling out all the new stuff that was there. And then initially there was a lot of like quizzes to be done or, stuff like that. So I'm doing like, which Hogwarts class or what are they called? House. Which Hogwarts house are you in? Yeah, I was like, obviously I'm Gryffindor. So I'll fill this out and it'll verify that. And it did. And, you know, the various other quizzes like that would sort of categorize you.
Yeah.
And I can remember those being really big for a while through Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was
sort of the first viral thing on Facebook was the quiz.
Yeah.
Really.
And then it just blew up, man.
Yeah. Sort of overnight.
It exploded. I mean, because they opened the gates beyond just schools. Right. Mm-hmm. So now you had a lot of, youth or young adults, I guess,
mm-hmm.
sort of signing up because, you know, the college kids were already there. And then you had the sort of the next age group up interested. And also, I'm sure high school kids, you know, also wanted to get in.
Yeah. I don't think there was as much demand for high school kids, at least initially.
Yeah.
That was my sense, but it may just be because I didn't know any at the time.
But I think the tipping point was when baby boomers.
Yeah.
Started to see value in Facebook.
Yeah.
Like wanting to interact. And I think part of what draws people to Facebook is the sort of ability to see what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically people that you have not had any contact with.
Right.
For years. At least that's the draw, I think, for the baby boomer generation, our generation to some degree.
Mm-hmm. And the novelty of it too. Like Facebook reached an audience that MySpace and Friendster and all those didn't, which is that boomer contingent.
Yeah.
So they still have the novelty of like, oh, I'm talking to this person on a computer, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean to like diminish anybody, you know, like their capabilities or whatever, but I feel like there is still that, there's still a little bit of the shininess of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that, wow, this is the future. This is cool.
Yeah. You can see, oh, look at this. I can see my daughter's, you know, or my granddaughter's photos or whatever, you know? And I think that is one aspect of Facebook that is excellent is you can keep up with people, you know, you can keep these relationships, however sort of thin that relationship really is.
Right.
You can maintain a connection.
Yeah.
And
get to know people better.
Yes.
You know.
Sometimes not for good.
Right. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you learn things about people you rather
would. Yeah.
But you can, I find with, especially with family, and extended family beyond your, you know, immediate family, it's really great to see what your family's up to. You know, if you like your family.
Alice is fed up. So she creates a group called Timmy Gordon's A Real Wet Blanket. According to the group's description, Timmy cries over spilled milk. Timmy buys things not made in the USA. Timmy wets the bed. And Timmy is a communist. Be careful, Alice. This is clearly in violation of Facebook relationship rule number 5. Don't start hate groups. Nothing good can come of this.
I actually always find it surprising when anyone uses social media as a platform for their personal views. I don't know why. I mean, it makes sense that people would do it.
Right. Yeah. It's sort of a, I think people already know what to expect when they're throwing these things out there.
Yes. And I think they may be in some cases trolling for a response.
Yes. I definitely agree. Well, of course. I mean, you don't
put it out there.
The general, I guess the, we should talk about this too. Right.
We'll have a conversation.
I don't want to have a conversation. No, it's not that guy. It's the chief complaint, I think, about social media, the chief criticism about social media is that it's a bunch of nothing. That there's no point to
it. It's a big old Seinfeld episode.
Yeah. It's just people talking about inconsequential things. So I think in opposition to that, like that idea is sort of in the back of everyone's mind that what they are posting is probably inconsequential.
Do you think so?
I think so. I think whether they know it or not, I think that that's part of it. Like there is a sense that,
oh, whether they know that they're thinking that.
Yeah. I don't know that it's conscious. I'm just saying, I think that that is partially motivating people when they're posting something that is controversial or likely to elicit a response. I think they are acting upon or in reaction to that idea that they feel like they need to do something meaningful with their usage of this platform.
When you say inconsequential,
yeah,
do you mean it in the true sense of the word, as in they feel they know that there will be no real consequence to voicing an opinion?
No.
Or do you mean it as in the grand scheme of things, this will have little impact?
Insignificant is a better word.
Because I actually would agree with it being inconsequential. That the ramifications of anything you post on Facebook or Twitter or whatever are low for most people.
Or at least that's the perception.
Yeah, and I think mainly it's true. I mean, every once in a while, for something like for maybe a celebrity or a politician or someone who a lot of people will hear when they make some kind of statement through a social channel, there are real ramifications to opinions that they voice. But for someone like you or someone like me, if I go on Facebook and I'm like, I'm laying it down on the line, strawberries are gross. Deal with that. And then, you know, no one cares. I mean, my immediate circle of friends may, you know, have a conversation with me on that, but there are no real consequences to me taking a stand that way.
Right.
But, and so when you say inconsequential, I totally agree with that. And also insignificant.
Yes. I was speaking more like to the insignificant element, and that I feel like when people are making very, not necessarily controversial, but when they're posting something that they know is going to elicit a passionate response or a, primarily when they're looking to engage in a dialogue that is very argumentative.
A fake dialogue.
Right.
A dialogue where people are not trying to discuss, but they're simply speaking.
Speaking, yes. Yeah. A very one-sided exchange. Yeah. I feel like they're doing it partially because they want to justify their use of this platform.
Well, okay. So
they don't want it to be all about what they had for lunch. They want it to, you know, like, look, I'm saying something that's more meaningful than that.
So there's people who use it, who use social media as a platform for their ideas, beliefs, and opinions, right? And some people who just revel in posting very controversial things and hoping for someone to jump on so they can have that one-sided conversation. Mm-hmm. There's people who use it to post the most inane, uninteresting things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just had this sandwich, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking the dog out now. Right.
Hey, I blinked.
Yeah.
I blinked again.
There's people who use it, to share links with mm-hmm. each other. Right. Check out this video of me taking the dog out. Check out this video of me blinking. what there's people who sort of like to function as news outlets themselves, like,
right.
you know, who will post links to various news items or mm-hmm. what have you.
There are people who build their careers out of social media who,
yeah,
who that is their, I sort of, and this is probably just me making this up, but I feel like social media, the term social media did not exist until somebody said, okay, I'm an expert at social media. Huh. You know, I feel like I was trying to figure out, like, where did that term yeah. come from and when did we start using it? And the earliest instances I can think of are people talking about, you know, like their prowess at yeah. social media.
Or, it doesn't, you know, seem something. Like it was long ago
that
term came about.
Yeah, I would say maybe like 2007, 2008 or something like that, but maybe not even that long.
So I like social media. I like what it affords, and I like to see, you know, what my friends are thinking. Mm-hmm. I like to see the links that they share. But, man, do I get annoyed with social media. Like, it's funny how when I post anything, I'm like, nobody cares about this. What I'm about to post, nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would anyone care? You know what I mean? But uh-huh. I do it anyway.
Right.
And the funny thing is that I'm interested to see what other people post, but for some reason, I just think that people could care less. Do right. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I post very, like nowadays when I post, it's like sharing a drawing that I did.
Yeah.
I very rarely actually post status messages.
Uh-huh.
I like, and when I tweet, it's very rarely an actual like thought. It's uh-huh. it's usually a link. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I don't really use it in that way because I feel like who would care?
Uh-huh.
And but when I think about it, really think about it, well, my friends would, you know,
right.
I'm sure they'd read it and, you know,
and what are you looking for from other people's posts?
Anything. Uh-huh. I honestly will consume
that
anything.
Filter, right?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not like, oh, that was boring.
Unfollow.
Yeah, yeah. I like to hear and see what they're up to, or even if it is like I just blinked.
Yeah,
it's weird. I like to consume that.
Yeah,
but I feel like I shouldn't partake in it myself. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's
it's a strange. It's a strange aspect of how I.
I wonder if there are other people who have the same
could
thing.
Be.
Like,
could
that's
be.
A condition.
It is.
I feel like I have kind of a more volatile relationship with social media, in that I'm
always surprised when I see you in any social media forum.
Really?
Apart like from any? Twitter.
Okay.
You know, you use that pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, those are the two that I, but whenever I see you on Facebook, I'm surprised.
I am too. I don't know why.
I'm always like, why this, you know, and why now? What compelled him to interact suddenly?
Right. After a hiatus of like 7 months
yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm always, go ahead.
Well, and not, don't take this the wrong way.
Right.
But when you do post something, it's seemingly insignificant. It's like, well, why that? You know, it's not like it's anything where I'm like, oh, of course he would post that. Like,
uh-huh.
it's not like there's been a death in the family and you're like, everyone, I want you to know.
Right.
Or it's not like, you know, big news, we're moving to Tahoe. You know,
right.
it's like, it's some link or it's like a random statement. And I'm like, why now? Why that? And why now?
does he decide to do this? You know, like it seemed like it must have been an accident or something. Like I meant to post
it
that to out. Twitter.
It was supposed to go to Twitter, right?
But
yeah.
That got to Facebook instead, and I guess I'll leave it.
My thing is, I don't want to be redundant. You know,
okay.
That's sort of my only driving like methodology when it comes to social media is I don't want to be doing something that somebody else is already doing better.
Yeah.
You know, because why would I bother?
Yeah.
So I figure as long as even if nobody responds, mm-hmm. and usually nobody responds, I'm satisfied in that I have documented something that occurred to me that I thought was entertaining. And
right.
That's why. So, but I will go long stretches where even with Twitter, which I think I probably use more than anything else, I will go stretches where I'm just bored. I'm just not interested in
nothing seems
in
worthwhile.
Yeah. Especially where when it comes to like looking at other stuff, you know, like it I'll go through these major droughts. And I feel like it's just part of like the growth of the platform as much as it is anything else. You know, I've seen waves of Facebook, you know, usage.
Yeah.
And it's eventually it's novel for a little bit. It's an interesting change. Yeah. A lot of times it's related to Facebook itself. It's like how are people responding to new things on Facebook?
New timeline.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There is an amazing amount of activism against Facebook taking place on Facebook.
On Facebook. Yeah. Which is it doesn't seem to diminish, you know. It's like people acknowledge that other people are doing this on Facebook, and yet it persists. It continues.
I love that
change.
I love that it is never successful. I don't think Facebook has ever caved to anything.
No,
like
not to my knowledge,
there's a huge movement to get a dislike button.
Yeah,
that has never happened. People every time they change the layout. People like, this is the, you know, a million strong against the new Facebook layout.
if we get enough likes, and then Facebook will change it
back. Man, they could care less. Facebook's like, no, this is what it is. Deal with it.
Yeah.
They really don't care.
No, they don't. They're not, it's not like they're hiding from
No.
They're very honest about it.
Yeah. And they've made... They have addressed it before that, you know, they've said things like, well, we did user testing. Like this is based on lots of user testing and watching how people use Facebook and where they go when they log in and what they're trying to do and the things that aren't working for them. And that's why we made these changes, because we believe it is the most efficient way for Facebook to work right now for the way that people are using it. And it's just people hate it. People hate it.
Yeah.
It cracks me. Like I love it now. Whenever Facebook makes a change, I love it.
You just sit back and wait.
Because, I watch Facebook for all the timeline sucks. Ugh, timeline. Ugh, well, guess I don't like Facebook now. There's just
I guess I'm
like,
gone.
Who cares?
This is the straw that
it's like, who cares? It's timeline. What? How does this affect your life in a meaningful way?
Yeah.
That it would bother you so much.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. So that is like, I guess that's the side of social media. Like complaining on social media really drives me insane. And sort of in the same vein as complaining, this will come off wrong because I don't actually lump these things two together, but in the arena of social media, I do lump complaining with activism through social means, where the majority of activists on social channels are, what they call a keyboard activist. Like you sit there and you don't actually do anything.
Right.
You simply add your voice to a
endorsing something.
Yeah, exactly.
You're endorsing a stance or whatever.
And so for me, I lump that in with just sort of complaining because you're not really doing anything.
Yeah, you're not contributing to any cause.
Right. I mean, maybe you are. Maybe you're writing that and then you're going off and you're literally doing something.
Right.
But I'm sure that the million strong against whatever aren't actually gathering somewhere and doing anything.
Yeah.
Is that a question?
In the 16th email, you raised concerns about the site's functionality. Were you leading them on for 6 weeks?
No.
Then why didn't you raise any of these concerns before?
It's raining.
I'm sorry?
It just started raining.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
No.
Do you think I deserve it?
What?
Do you think I deserve your full attention?
I had to swear an oath before we began this deposition, and I don't want to perjure myself, so I have a legal obligation to say no.
Okay, no. You don't think I deserve your attention?
I think if your clients want to sit on my shoulders and call themselves tall, they have a right to give it a try, but there's no requirement that I enjoy sitting here listening to people lie. You have part of my attention. You have the minimum amount. The rest of my attention is back at the offices of Facebook, where my colleagues and I are doing things that no one in this room, including and especially your clients, are intellectually or creatively capable of doing. Did I adequately answer your condescending question?
Let me ask what you think. If this is crowdsourcing or if it's social media or if it's both, Kickstarter. Does it fall on the spectrum of social, or is it more just a crowdsourcing type of thing?
Yeah, I don't know that I would call it social, although obviously it's linked to social and part of its success is dependent upon social interaction. I love Kickstarter. I think it's cool. You know, like everything else, I think it has its limitations, but
yeah,
and it can be overdone. But I don't know that it's. I wouldn't call it like a. I wouldn't call it a network.
I wouldn't either.
You know,
I was. I think it is more of just a crowdsourcing thing. Like
yeah,
and that's. I guess that's a distinction. There is not really there's like comments on Kickstarter, but there is no place to have a real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably integral to social media.
Yeah.
The ability to communicate.
Yeah. Well, and then the other element I would add to that is the sort of ownership element, the where you can sort of, you can take something that exists, a statement or a conversation, and then you can, by adding your own voice or reinterpreting it or something, you turn it into something else.
Yeah.
Or take it off on a different tangent, you know, which I think is a great sort of way to talk about Twitter. And part of the reason why I like Twitter is that it like Facebook, I feel like unless you are using it, unless you're like a power user or whatever, which sort of makes me yarf in my mouth as I say it. But like, you know, unless you're an aggressive Facebook user,
okay.
Most of the people that you're interacting with on Facebook, if you are a personal account,
yeah,
are people that you either know very closely or have known at some point.
Or tangentially know.
Right, yeah, friend of a friend or whatever. Whereas like on Twitter, I feel like you can see and have interaction that is from people who know nothing about each other.
Yeah.
But there's some sort of common thread there, or sometimes there's not a common thread there. You know?
Yeah.
But I like that ability to where a statement can be made and then someone can respond to that statement.
Yeah.
And then the chain of responses then becomes sort of its own thing.
Yeah.
You know, that I think is really cool.
I like one thing I like about Twitter are the novelty accounts that can appear, like the fake AP style book.
Yeah,
is an excellent one.
Classic.
There's like
Drunk Hulk.
Yeah, exactly. Like there are these great like characters and little novelty accounts that make that, I think. There's a potential for creative writing on Twitter.
Yeah,
you know, it's a neat experiment in short form writing. You know, and I think that's pretty cool. And I use it mainly to just you know link to things that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely put a original thought into Twitter. Like usually I'll retweet someone or I'll reply to someone, but I rarely start a conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, it's because I feel like no one would care.
It's so sad.
Yeah. It's sad.
You're like the Eeyore of Twitter.
I guess nobody cares. Why bother tweeting? No one will read it anyway. I was going to tell you what I had for lunch, but you've probably already eaten. Your lunch was probably better.
Is there an Eeyore account?
There should be.
It should just be, I was going to tell you this, but you probably don't care.
Probably already know.
That would be pretty great.
That's good, yeah.
What else is that? Instagram.
Yeah, we didn't want to talk about Instagram, which is probably my favorite.
It's very topical right now.
Yeah, we're actually recording this on the day that Facebook announced its acquisition of Instagram.
And you and I spoke about this earlier and both sort of cringed when we heard the news.
Yeah, and initially I
don't know why I care. I don't know why I cringed. Like, I'm not an avid... I have an Instagram account, and I'm not an avid... Again, my psychosis comes into play, but I'm not a huge user of it, but I love, you know, to see what other people post.
Right.
But I'm not, like, loyal to it, and I'm not, you know... It's not as though I feel like Facebook will ruin anything, because I don't even know what it is. Like, what would it ruin for me? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I don't have like this thing. There's not something about Instagram that I'm like, they better not ruin this part of Instagram because that's what I love about it. You know? So I'm not sure why I cringed at that. Maybe it's because of the general feeling of like, you know, this, you know, Facebook, the biggest,
right,
you know, strongest social company out there, sort of enveloping a smaller, successful entity,
mm-hmm,
you know, and kind of like, I guess it's the, and I hate to say this because I really despise it when people say stuff like this, but it feels like they're selling out. It feels like they, you know, what do they gain?
Mm-hmm.
It's not as, and, you know, I don't know, but it seems though as though there was no shortage of users for Instagram.
Yeah,
that there was no like functionality that Facebook can provide that that Instagram can't, and so maybe that's where that feeling came from when I learned this and sort of felt like, oh well, that's too bad. You know,
the one thing where I think there could be a credible concern, and this sort of came to me later on after chatting with somebody about it, was that my only genuine worry about the integration, a potential integration, is that it will become Facebook photos. Like Instagram and Facebook photos will become synonymous. You know, like I feel like personally, I don't treat Instagram, the stuff that I post on Instagram, I don't do the same way that I do like a photo if I'm posting it to Facebook. In a scenario where I actually post photos on Facebook, let's say hypothetically, I do it for completely different reasons, and I have a completely different approach to it than I do to Instagram.
Yeah.
And I worry about that being diluted when if everybody is just posting photos and it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
Instagram photos are Facebook photos and vice versa.
Right.
And then I worry that like you lose that particular distinction with Instagram.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to assume that that's going to happen just because the two are one or, you know, one or the other.
Part of it for me too is just not having an overly positive view of Facebook in general, of the practices and the way that they operate, and sort of feeling like it would be unfortunate were that to transfer over to Instagram.
Yeah. You know,
were that to become the way that they operate. But again, I'm not a huge Instagram guy either. So if they did, I probably wouldn't even notice. The newest thing is Pinterest, probably.
Yeah, that seems to be like the biggest.
Which I actually initially saw a lot of value in it as a collection, as a way to collect things that I liked you know, sort of art that I liked. Mm. I know a lot of people use it to like, collect pictures of food mm-hmm. and fashion.
Yeah.
And stuff. And like, for me, it's all, I only use it to like have a way to house art that I like that I can go back and look at.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a whole like sort of, and I don't know that it still has this hasn't been resolved, but there's some copyright issues and there are some things, some stuff in their terms of service that affect copyright in a really weird way.
Yeah.
To where when you post something to Pinterest, you are giving them full rights according to their terms of service to do mm-hmm. what they want with that image. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's your thing or if it's someone else's thing.
Right.
Once you post it there, by the wording in their terms of service, they can do what they want. I don't know that they would actually ever pass legal muster.
Right.
You know, should like they try to do something, which would be crazy.
Right. Yeah.
But it does kind of bug me because I haven't heard whether or not they've addressed it. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of stopped using it mm-hmm. because that, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't like that. But I did like what Pinterest is, what it was possible with it. And there are some like usability is kind of, they're kind of a mess right now. But I think it's because they got big really fast and they don't really know what to do.
They don't know how to sustain it yet.
Yeah.
Quite. Yeah.
But, you know, and they got big fast and then they made it a requirement to have a Facebook login.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so. I if you got in before that, you're mm-hmm. legacy and so you don't. But I think mm-hmm. now you have to sign in through Facebook.
Yeah. And see, and there are good, I think there are good things and bad things about that too.
I hate that.
I find it in my initial reaction to it is, oh, come on, you know, and I've deleted, you know, I've downloaded apps and stuff mm-hmm. and then to realize that they require a Facebook login and I'll delete them.
I cannot stand that.
Yeah. But I think like in the case of, places like, the news, the local news website, STL Today, previously mm-hmm. had this anonymous comment system where you could create an account and say whatever you want. You could be like beer guy 29 and you could just spout all of these stupid views, which is another element about social media we really didn't really talk about, which is just like how internet communication just breeds the worst in people.
Yeah, it does.
But as a way of potentially combating that, they've switched their comment mode to Facebook now. So you have to have a Facebook account in order to comment. And so you're more accountable for what you've posted on their stories, which could hopefully rein that in.
Yeah.
But the initial thought is like, God, I think it's because we come from this mindset. And I stand by this mindset to a certain degree where we want certain things to do. We want certain services to do specific things.
Yeah.
You know, I go to Twitter specifically to have Twitter conversations.
Yes.
You know, and we go to Facebook to do specifically what Facebook was designed for when we first, you know, discovered it. So it's like the sort of assumed integration of these services really grates me. And
the assumed like ease of use or something
mm-hmm.
as if you're like, oh, this makes it better. Like I can set it up with my Facebook account. It's
right.
Like, I don't want to link everything to my Facebook account.
Right.
I'd rather link nothing to it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I want that to be it. That's Facebook and that's what that is. I don't want it connecting to other stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That drives me nuts. Yeah. I won't, I'm not going to say that because I don't want to sound pretentious. I'm done on that subject. I will just say that I don't like it.
I wonder if Instagram is going to adopt a similar thing now.
It may be. I would not be surprised. I mean, I don't know. In fact, I don't know how they would, why they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
There's Google Plus.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, consider it a flop.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting joke. I mean, I find it very funny that, you know, it hasn't caught on despite Google's presence.
Boy.
And
they can't seem to figure that out. You know, they did Google Wave.
Right.
Which was even less successful than Google Plus.
Yeah.
And Plus, I I like Plus, and I prefer it to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cleaner. Mm-hmm. I think it. I really like the circles aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think primarily why I like it is because there's a lot of people who aren't on it.
Right, yeah. It's not Facebook.
It's not Facebook. It's not full of Facebook users.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's why I like it. But it's funny how, like, if you bring it up, if you bring Google Plus up, people, you know, love to, like, say, love to make fun of it.
Yeah.
They really love to act like there's no one on Google Plus.
Yeah.
And you know, it's true. There are not a lot of, comparatively, there are not a lot of people on Google Plus, but it's not like a barren wasteland.
Well, and it's also not like, I mean, if you were to compare it, and somebody probably has already done this, but like if you were to compare it to Facebook, I guess, you know, it's still, Google Plus hasn't even been around a year.
Yeah, exactly.
And people are already saying like, well, it's a failure because no one's there. Well, nobody was there the first year of Facebook, you know? It was only worthwhile to the people who were in a position where it was, you know, relevant.
There's a strange, like, expectation
mm-hmm.
that it should have been bigger than Facebook within a month.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And I think that's the Google part, you know?
Yeah.
The fact that...
Well, people, thought the name recognition mm-hmm. and the fact that it's Google would have, you know, given it more of a push, but you know, it's like any other new social platform. It's not, and because it does seemingly feel as if it is in direct competition with Facebook.
Right. It's a reaction.
It's not a new
thing. Yeah.
It is a new way to do a thing.
Yeah.
You know, there are some new ideas in Google Plus, but it is on the whole not new.
Right.
It is Google's version of Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can't be like Pinterest and grow ridiculously in a short amount of time because people are like, I've already got this. I've got this through Facebook.
Right.
And so unless you see some sort of quality that you don't have on Facebook, you're not going to switch over to Google Plus. And so they're, you know, like you said, like they've probably got, you know, as many users as Facebook had when Facebook first started.
Mm-hmm.
And so over really, if you know, one can make the determination over the next 6 or 7 years, you know, if Google Plus is dead
mm-hmm.
or if, you know, it builds a user base.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see.
Okay.
Look, man, we'll wait and we'll see.
Right here.
You and me.
Just going to watch this screen.
I'm looking at it now. I think the other thing is social gaming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's not a new thing. You know, like gaming, once it became possible to connect, you know, over the internet or over a network in gaming, like that became, social gaming became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's stuff like MMORPGs,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, you create these communities of gamers who all play this one game and they interact within there, build real relationships. And, you know, just like we were saying with forums, people get married,
right,
who meet across these things. But I think what's, you know, so that's been around for a while. But what is interesting to me, what's starting to occur now are these smaller games, these what have been dubbed fairly or unfairly casual games,
mm-hmm.
Things like Words with Friends or the latest thing, Draw Something, which is again a thing that has blown up overnight
mm-hmm.
and has become really successful. But these sort of social games where through, again, like Facebook or whatever, you connect through that. And then you can play your friends at these games, you know. It's really, I really like it
mm-hmm.
Because people who previously would not have considered themselves gamers or interested in video games are playing these types of games. And I think the gaming community, a lot of the gaming community doesn't like it.
Right.
There's,
doesn't seem legitimate.
Yeah. And casual gamer is kind of an insult. in the gaming world, which is unfortunate, you know, that we can't just like welcome anyone who wants to play a game.
Right.
But what I love about it is like, you know, I play my mom at Scramble with friends, mm-hmm. you know, or Word with friends or whatever, you know, and it's a new way to connect with someone who, you know, obviously still stupid. I've known my mom for 30 years, you know, and like when I was a kid, we played board games, whatever. Yeah. But now this is a whole other way to connect and to, you know, share something with her and with anyone, with any of my friends, you know, and it's so easy too. I think what is really great about it is the convenience of it. You know, it's on your phone or it's on your laptop or whatever, and it's 2 minutes and, you know, of your day that you interact with someone, you know, in a game or whatever, you know, and I think that's really cool.
I love, and piggybacking on that, I love that it gives you then when you are in a real interactive sphere, you know, like where you happen to like come across these people in the real world.
Yeah.
There is that other layer of relation.
Yes.
You know, you have that common experience then that I think enhances those, you know, when you're actually speaking with somebody, and maybe it's somebody you don't even know really that well.
Yeah.
But now you suddenly have a way to get to know them better.
Yes.
When you hang out.
I was just going to say, like, you can, because of Facebook or whatever, because so many of these games, you know, say you can find your friends through Facebook. Mm-hmm. You could, someone who you really have no interaction with, but you both love a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's suddenly this connection that you didn't have, and it's really cool. And even if it never leaves that area, if it never leaves that game, if your interactions with them only exist within that one-to-one connection of the game, that's fine. I think that's, you know, just cool on its own is you're, you know, you never would have interacted with this person that way.
Yeah.
Had it not been for that. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. That's very cool. And I think that's sort of, we'll continue to see more of that, like in beyond like just the gaming, but it's already started with, like there are services that will, you can read socially, you know, where like it, you can kind of like read along with other people, you know, and see where your friends are, and movies are now going to be part of that, movies and TV, where you can sort of watch things together and react together, even though you're not actually together.
I do love the sense of community and sharing that is that is possible through social media. It is incredible the things that can happen because you're suddenly connected to people.
And that one great thing can totally validate it, you know, in spite of all the nonsense and stuff. If you have been wondering, you know, what somebody's been doing for a long time or if you just happen to, you know, meet somebody, have an exchange, you know, and you know, that can be super cool and totally worth all the nonsense.
So there's good stuff.
Yeah. We like it.
We like it. And we don't.
It's okay.
Well, if I would like this podcast,
I would like it too. I would retweet it.
Like it. I would retweet it. We are on Facebook.
We are.
We're on Twitter.
Yeah,
we're on Facebook. If you don't know, you can be our fan. And we're on Twitter. We've got one follower who isn't me or John. We only have one. Slide this one on into the archive.